and welcome to the Good Vibes Film Club, the audio show that's like a book club, but with films. Except not this week. We have an entire non-spoiler and full spoiler discussion on Avengers Endgame. We've been waiting to see this film for about 20 years and now... Sorry, 20 films.
Oh, 20 yeah.
films. Probably about 10 years, you say?
Well...
It's finally here.
I guess.
My name is Adam Denby and I'm joined every week by my better half, the lovely... The Enchanting.
You forgot Enchanting.
The Marvellous. Sarah Warner.
Hi.
How was your cinema experience? Anything bad happen?
Well, we can get into...
Well, tell me now. I'm asking you now.
Well, if I explain, it's like a spoiler. Like, something was happening, and it was really obvious what was going to happen, and the people next to us were like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to swear. But that's what they said in the cinema. And I'm like, it's obvious.
These
like,
are the same people who bought an entire, like, 12-inch pizza each into the cinema. A cardboard box, just, you know, popping it open, scrambling about. Oh, wait, that's finished. The Maltesers are coming out now.
Oh, did they have Maltesers?
Yeah, they have Maltesers in a handbag as well.
Oh, sounds like a tasty feast.
And then a big Slurpee, one of those, like, slushy...
I had my one bottle of water where I was like, I'm not sipping this till, like, 3/4 of the way through the film because I was like, I cannot go to the toilet.
You want to watch.
Yeah.
Well, that as well, yeah. I just want you to come into the film, pay your money, sit down, just look at the screen until the film is over, and then leave.
Yeah, other people were doing musical chairs. Some other people came in about half an hour after it had started.
What good is that? It's like,
I don't know.
Especially in this film, and we can't really tell you, but a lot of stuff happens. So if you missed it, then that's on you.
Yeah.
They should make it's gone down to £5 for a screening, but if you make it more expensive...
Not everywhere.
No, but this is very good cinema, and it's very cheap, so make it more expensive. People value it more. Ready? So since the film is newer than the classics we usually do, we're going to keep the first half spoiler-free, and then we're going to give you a spoiler warning, and you can switch off if you don't want to hear the spoilers. But beware, this film is very, very difficult to talk about without spoilers.
Yeah, so it might be not a lot of non-spoiler talk. We might move on quite quickly.
I've got some good questions, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try. I'm really scared. I don't want to ruin anything.
Okay, let's go into the first non-spoiler section.
Okay.
Okay, we'll try very, very carefully not to say anything that could lead to any kind of soft spoilers. If you... don't want to know a single detail, then it should be okay. But, you know, just to be cautious, come back when you've watched it. Make sure you download this episode and then press play once you've come out of the cinema. Okay? You ready to go in?
Tread carefully, yeah.
I'd say I am a little bit ill and a little bit hungover, so my throat is going a little bit, but I'll soldier on.
You sound good so far.
I'll winter soldier on. So you may have to lead it.
Okay.
Okay, so 20 films... coming to an end.
I think this is the 22nd film.
Is it the 22nd film?
I think.
It's a lot. So what do you think of the film? Your overall impression?
Really good. Really, it's just sort of, we've not had something like this before, like this scale.
In our lifetime.
Yeah, like this much build up to it. I was so excited, like the day was dragging and I was thinking about like when I could like last have a drink because I didn't want to need the toilet because everyone kept saying it's 3 hours and like yeah, you can't go to the toilet.
Loads of those articles about when's the best time to go pee.
And I am the kind of person, I have the disposition, if you tell me I can't go to the toilet, I need the toilet and I get quite worked up.
You did well, you didn't go at all, did you?
I didn't know, you went once, didn't you?
Yeah.
When you came back, I whispered to you what had happened.
But I did read those articles that said when to go. But
so were you like, this is the moment?
Well, no, because one of them was like, it was so vague that it could have been almost any point of the film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's got to tell you when to go to the toilet without ruining anything that's happening.
It was just describing things like within the universe. So like when you see this for the third time, go kind of thing.
But you're not going to be thinking about that, are you? You're just going to be thinking, I need a wee, I need a wee, I need a wee.
Well, I mean, I missed the point that it meant, but when I saw the bit that it did mean, I was like, oh, that's my, like it was obvious once you see that bit.
Okay. It's fine anyway. But so
opinion.
Sorry.
Not your pee breaks.
Really, really good. I think I do want to go, we were just saying before we started, I think I do want to go watch it again. I think because it's so long, so much happens. I think there's a lot of detail and maybe questions I have. Not that it's unclear, but I think it's got a rewatch value. But I think overall, maybe, I don't know, the emotional impact, like, it is very emotional. It's a different kind of emotional than Infinity War in some bits. But part of me, I think I need to watch it again. Part of me overall maybe preferred Infinity War.
And you have seen Infinity War more. I think it's the same with me with Star Wars films as well. The first time I'm going in, I'm more excited to see what the direction's going to be, like what the idea behind the film is going to pan out to be.
Mm.
And then the second time I want to pay attention to all of that detail that you missed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially with Star Wars, you're like, what are you going to try and show me in this film? Like, what kind of film are you going to show me? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much mystery around it. You just almost want to... It is that thing with a book where you just want to skim through to see the end, but actually in doing so, in just knowing how it ends, you miss a lot of it if you don't dive in deep.
I think we should maybe go again next week.
You need like a first pass across the top.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand the entire end-to-end bit now. Now I want to go in a bit deeper. Deeper with more detail. So your impression was you liked it, but maybe not as much as Infinity War until you see it a second time.
Yeah, that's not to say it was bad, because I really liked it.
Yeah.
And it was very exciting. And it was a satisfying conclusion.
That was going to be one of my other questions. Obviously, there's a lot of hype, a lot of money put into all of these films over the last 10 years. Does this film pay off in a way that...
I think so. I feel pretty satisfied.
I think the same.
I have a couple of issues we'll get into later.
In the spoiler.
Yeah, but again, maybe I need a repeat viewing, or maybe from speaking to you. Because that's the thing, we came out... Like, normally we come out of a film and we're like talking about it and what we thought. But with this one, we kind of came out and I think I started saying things, you were like, save it for the recorded. So it's been like 3 days now and we haven't really talked about it.
Yep.
But no one I know has seen it yet.
So you've had no one else to talk to.
I've been with like my mum and dad at the weekend who like are not that bothered.
So
some of my questions you will answer them.
It ties into a question that I've got here is like, what would you tell someone to go see this film?
Not if they haven't seen Infinity War. I was telling my brother about it and he was like, oh, I saw like a bit of Infinity War on a plane. And I was like, okay. I was like,
not any way to watch any of these films.
So I was don't go watch this.
It's kind of not his fault. Like, he's maybe not the target audience for this. I'm sure.
Yeah, like, they're not his favourite thing, and that's fine. It's not everybody's cup of tea.
I can't think of like different types of movies though where I'm going in watching it the wrong way. Like, you know, what are the films that he likes? And am I watching them, like, underappreciating them in some way? I don't think you can do it. I think these kind of, like, sci-fi, cinematic, massive budget films are the only way that you can almost abuse them by not watching it with the right experience.
Mm.
I mean, like, you can watch, I don't know, Sense and Sensibility on a plane. And
it's a very nice-looking film.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but it probably isn't going to impact...
I doubt. I don't know what airline is showing that. I've never seen that available.
It's just an example. And it's nothing to do with the age of the film. It's just that it's a type. You know?
I've watched Star Wars on a plane. Not for the first time, I guess.
I know. So you would recommend someone to see this as long as they'd seen almost, let's call it part one. Because I know people who've watched Infinity War and kind of maybe bits and bobs of Marvel films, and they were just like, yeah, it was rubbish, too many characters. That's their opinion.
Yeah. I think if you're not into the whole genre, you probably... And then, if you're not really into comic book films, then you go and watch a 3-hour, like, massively emotional roller coaster comic book film, you're probably not going to be that arsed.
So is it just Infinity War you think that you needed to see it? Because I felt there was one film that I haven't seen yet, which I could have done with watching. Yeah, Ant-Man.
And the Wasp.
I would recommend watching Ant-Man and the Wasp if you
haven't. Because we have not, and it kind of spoils how that ends.
Yeah. So I think we said before in the Captain Marvel, there were three films we haven't seen: Black Panther, Dark World, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
That was just one of those things where we scheduled it in, and then it turned out that date that we thought it was the American release date. And then we were like, oh, it's not on. And then we just kind of forgot after that to go watch it, and before we knew it, it had gone from the cinema, and then it was out on release, but you couldn't rent it, so we're like, okay, we're not gonna buy it.
It's available on one of our
streaming. And now it's out on streaming.
So maybe we'll watch it after
late.
This.
Is it, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's still supposed to be good.
I know. Well, watching, you know, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man in this film, I was kind of I really
good.
Like him.
I know, because you miss him in Infinity War.
I think he is. I did wonder where he was in Infinity War.
Mm.
And this explains that.
Yeah, we'll go watch it in a bit.
I think in a little, there aren't many films that it spoils, but I think that's probably one of them, because you see the result of where he was, which now, if I go in and watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, I'm going to know that, which I probably didn't want to know that. So that would be a recommendation. Do you think you needed to watch Captain Marvel without going into any spoilers? Just say yes or no, I think.
I think it would help.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it would help.
So, they were talking about how Marvel's come from a place of, okay, we had kind of Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire films early on, and then we got to the beginning of the MCU with Iron Man and Ed Norton's Hulk, and those kind of films up to the first Avengers. And obviously there've been this sort of chain transition from like sci-fi-ish, emotional kind of epic theme. It's still there a little bit, but into more of a humor. And it feels like you can't make these Marvel films without that comedy ingredient.
Yeah.
Like, it is really important. Like, you know, how funny Thor is. You don't really think of him like that as much in the earlier films.
No.
And now that's, you know, people just go to these films for the comedy, don't they?
I think some of the time, yeah. And this film certainly, it's obviously Infinity War, so that this will have spoilers for Infinity War.
Yeah.
It ends on a pretty somber note. It's a pretty devastating ending. So you kind of think, and obviously this film was sad and it had its dark moments, but it still had a lot of jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though you think it's going to be really like tense and serious, and it has those bits, but also like
does a good job. Funny. Does a good job of mixing between.
Yeah.
Especially, I think it's the final, the kind of the third act when things are sort of getting resolved, and they do get resolved, and it's left in a place of kind of. It's not like they kind of then transition back into humor as well, from going from something quite sad to something quite funny to. It does a really good job, and I think the length does it some favors in that respect, because if it was shorter, then those cuts between sort of flavors of scenes would seem a bit rushed. Because it's got enough time, it can transition between them quite comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you got some non-spoiler stuff? Because I think I'm dominating this section.
Well, I think I would just say maybe a little bit. It was so long. I think maybe in the first bit, it just maybe a little bit slow
too long.
In like the first sort of 30-40 minutes.
But that's my biggest hate of anyone who ever says, you know, I was watching the first part thinking, I bet there are people who step out and say to their mate, yeah, started off a bit slow and then it got going. Like, what do you want every film to be like X-Men 2? Do you need it to be like, press play and it starts out the gate and it just goes bam, 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 loads of action? Does that have to be the formula for every film?
No, it wasn't like action, just. I think going back now, I think I was sat there like, this could pick up a bit more. But then obviously after that bit, it is then like, it's like really, that's what the word is. Yeah, it's just like, then it is nonstop for the next sort of 2 hours, like 2.5 hours. So looking back now, I'd probably be like, that's fine. Like, you kind of need that.
You kind to build, of build it up.
Yeah, because then it is, the last part is just like.
I just think people's gut reaction is it got slow, because especially if it's a film that ends on such a big cliffhanger as Infinity War, people have been waiting how many years? 1 year? 2 years?
1 year.
Just to see exactly what that next scene is of the film.
I really liked the opening scene.
Right? So they're expecting to know all of that. Everything they built up in their head, they want to know instantly, like, but okay, you're not always going to get that, because that's not how the world works or storytelling works. You know, you don't open a book and suddenly you're like, whoa, you know, that's
probably are sometimes. Yeah, but the thing is, in a book you need to like establish the characters. Here you don't need to do any of that because it's been done over the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, but if it's a sequel to a book,
Yeah, they probably jump in. Anyway, I kind of, this was my initial reaction, but then I've had time to reflect. I'm like, it's fine.
I think it's just anticipation. People sat down in the cinema.
Yeah, I think I was sat there and I'm like.
And if it's anything less than like erratic, Fast and Furious action, people get a bit.
Because you could argue, I think, some people that. Because this is kind of one. Like the whole thing's kind of been a big arc, but obviously this is like direct kind of next bit. Whereas obviously between kind of like Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. There were like other films and like it's not like a direct sequel, whereas this is kind of like the next bit, so you could literally just jump in. But obviously they have, like, we can get into it, like it does slow down a bit.
I think it's really interesting. I think someone else comparing it to it being like a, like, think of it like a final episode of a TV series. Just imagine that the TV series, each episode is about 2.5 hours long. You've almost got like a 20-part series. It just happens to be double the length of a regular TV series.
Yeah, actually what I would say is the very first bit is a lot of action, and then there's the lull, which I can't really say.
Yeah.
Explaining.
I think we're coming up to the spoiler section.
Yeah, I think I've written some notes. Obviously going in, like, we saw the trailer. I think I'd been avoiding watching the trailer. I was like, I don't want to see anything. But then when we went and saw Captain Marvel, they showed it. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm watching it now.
Guess we're seeing it now.
So kind of going in, you knew Captain Marvel was going to be in it. I think it says that at the end of Captain Marvel as well. It says she'll appear again in Endgame. So you kind of know that. You know, there's this whole slogan of, like, avenge the fallen. So you know there's going to be some kind of effort or stand. Like, they're going to do something. But you don't really know if it's kind of, how that's going to form. Also know that later this year, there's going to be Spider-Man Far From Home. So part of you is like, well, is that because Spider-Man's back? Or is this set in like some other time and things like that? So you know he's...
Same with Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that was after Infinity War.
So I knew she wasn't going to... Yeah, I knew she,
oh, I,
she
mean,
didn't...
I guess you know that she's...
Well, I knew she didn't get dusted in the purge
from the end. So the other thing I was going to mention before we move on is people throw around this word fatigue about Star Wars, and obviously this is owned by Disney as well, and we've come to like the end of a big long time period of Marvel films. Do you feel like you've got fatigue from all these Marvel films? Two, do you think that you would want another, another Phase 4, Phase 5, to just keep going and going? And also, why do you think people don't say it with Marvel? You know, because Star Wars has been, you know, it got to the end of Episode 8. People are like, oh, I don't know, they're just churning them out now. I don't like it. And it's only been like 3 films. Yeah, it's been 20.
I think some people have Marvel fatigue.
I kind of feel like it's because Star Wars, completely different the way that, you know, how long ago it came out, the original 3, how long people have held them dear to their hearts about growing up and things. And then rather than it being special like it always has been, now suddenly it's not. Whereas Marvel has always been, if you've been born in the last 20 years, just been there. Like, you've always just had Marvel. They just come out the same way that, I don't know, rom-coms just come out.
So there has been times, I think it's only been sort of as it's got maybe into like Phase 2, Phase 3. Because I think they have got better in quality. Like, if I go back and watch like Iron Man 2, I think it's average. Like, it's not that bad, but... I know, like, the first Captain America, I remember watching it and not really liking it that much.
Yeah.
And some people will love it. But I know there was a time when, like, they were churning out, like, 2 or 3 a year, maybe 2 a year. And then there's all these series on, like, Netflix, and it is a bit overwhelming because you're like...
DC suddenly like, oh, we got to get on
and
this.
And then, like, the DC ones, I've seen none of them.
It's just, it's like, I mean, I haven't seen Thor Dark World, but I just feel like all the DC films are that... horrible,
I think,
or dark worldy tone. I've never been like a big DC fan. anyway.
Yeah, I think they've tried to make them like grittier and like.
It makes sense if it's, you know, Marvel's taking up that market.
But I think they've realised now with like Aquaman and Shazam, which I've not seen, but I've heard they're better, they're trying to make them a bit more fun. Yeah, because that's what Marvel are doing.
I think that's it. Like, people can almost, I'm saying people go in just to watch the comedy. I think people can sit there, have like a good time with a Marvel film, and it just happens to have a story as well.
Mm.
You just like, oh, Robert Downey Jr., I just like the way he says lines. And you can sit there for an hour and a half and enjoy it.
Mm.
And I think that's why they've pulled in such a massive and wide audience, that there will be people like maybe your parents who wouldn't consider themselves to be, you know, comic fans or any of this. They can just enjoy a film.
Yeah.
So you're happy for them to do more?
Yeah. Well, I can't really say my full thought again without ruining it.
Well, so you're not a person who reads comic books. Nope. You never really consider yourself to be a kind of Marvel geek. Nope. I mean, like, you seem to be very invested in this and excited about it.
I don't know why I was so excited.
Are you going to start reading Marvel comics now?
Probably not.
No? So are you happy to be involved in Marvel as long as you don't have to read it?
It's partly the characters and the actors doing it, I think. Just like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man he's so good. And he's just very entertaining to watch.
Quite often when you get like a massive A-list actor in to play a part in like an upcoming film, it's just always terrible. Like, the Sonic movie isn't out yet, but they've got some, you know, like, oh, Jim Carrey's like Dr. Robotnik, and then it's always going to end up to be awful. I feel like Marvel just have so much like control, like quality control over these films. Make them always turn out okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, Robert Downey Jr., when they hired him, I think he'd sort of been quite big, and then he'd been in trouble. I think he'd been in prison.
Yeah.
And then at the point of being cast in this, he'd been in a few films and was on the rise again, but he was still quite a gamble.
Mm.
And like, look at where he is now. Like, he is, when you think of these Marvel films, like he is like the face of it. Like, it's him.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think, yeah, that the part of it is people just always excited to see. I think, yeah, people just like relate to the characters and just they're likable, aren't they? They just want to see them on screen.
Yeah. And I think at some point, if they ever did more Iron Man films, for me, it's the same. Like, at some point, I know, because obviously Marvel, they've got all the rights, like the Fox X-Men stuff now. And I think they said they're not planning it for a very long time, but at some point they'll do it. When you eventually have a Wolverine that's not Hugh Jackman, that's going to really bug me.
Yeah.
The same as if in like 30 years' time there's an Iron Man and it won't be Robert Downey Jr. That'll like be sad.
And I think that's why it's not like looking at what happens in this film, the big kind of ultimate ending, and seeing everybody there playing their roles and stuff. It's like such an achievement that even got these actors to stick like throughout this entire, to make it consistent, to make it feel like a big comic book, you know, collaboration between the characters feels real. It's not just like, you know, Pepper Potts decided she doesn't want to be in it anymore and they've had to be replaced them. I think very early on is when you had the most actor changes. Like, you had the Hulk
and like,
and you that guy
War Machine
like in the, yeah, I think
I can't remember like the actual man's name.
Around that time, I guess they suddenly realized how important it would be to have everybody have a contract to stick at those roles for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And they can't go anywhere else, do anything. It makes a big difference. And that's why I know, like, nothing like this has ever been done before. No. It's just a miracle. I don't think any of the main actors have died. But there's stuff like that always happens, doesn't it? Stop stuff like, you know, I don't, the Joker isn't in another Batman film as Heath Ledger.
Yeah, you'd think if Heath Ledger was still alive, like,
would he have
been in more films?
Maybe not. I mean,
I know it, like,
a lot of different,
I think it
Jokers.
Took a toll on him, I think, that role, so maybe he wouldn't have wanted to do it again.
Yeah.
For example. And,
but it's just quite impressive what they've managed to pull off. And you can go, oh, look, it's Thor. And doesn't matter which film you watch, it's always the same Thor.
Yep.
Except Hulk.
Yeah. I didn't even realise, because you, a few months ago, you started trying to watch them all again. I didn't even realise, and you said you're watching The Incredible Hulk, and I was like, that's not in the MCU, is it? And you're like, yeah. Because I've only seen the Eric Banner one, the one with Eric Banner in it. I haven't seen the Ed Norton one.
Oh, you haven't seen that one either, then? Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, that's another MCU film I've not seen.
Yeah, exactly. They're the first two.
Should I bother? Because you were like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr.'s in it at the end. And I was like, oh.
I think, yeah, when I say end, I think it's like a post-credit. That's the first thing that they... And it's... I think all those films, it's like Nick Fury coming to them and saying, I'm putting together a team type thing. Yeah, I don't know. I was really puzzled because I'd only ever seen the first Hulk, the one that you were talking about.
Because they're not connected, are they all?
No, and then there's the Ed Norton one.
Yeah.
And then he gets to Avengers and it's a different guy.
Yeah.
It's Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
It's really confusing.
I like Mark Ruffalo, though.
There haven't been... I was thinking about this the other day. There haven't been any more Hulks. I wonder why.
Yeah, why did, like... Because obviously Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, that's been going well.
Why
do they never give him a film?
I just... To be honest, those two Hulk films, they're just like... They're always like Hulk running away from the military. And then just...
I like King Kong.
Yeah, they're not... Just, I don't find them interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, he's not... Like, I like Mark Ruffalo. I think he plays it in a really, like, sensitive, interesting way. But yeah, Hulk, I'm not interested.
We need to actually talk about the film. So if you lucky people who are yet to see the film, I'd recommend you tune out now. Go have a lovely time. Watch it. Hopefully you don't sit next to anyone who brings an entire pizza.
We have, like, a very low threshold for shenanigans in the cinema.
Yeah, I have to hold my, like, hands up to my head so just to block out any kind of
peripheral
movement and unboxing of cheese goods in my peripheral visions.
But, like, it's now with people's phones and stuff, they're so bright. And even
someone was taking pictures, I think, throughout it, with their flash on.
Oh. No, there was someone, like, I think they had, like, a smartwatch.
He also on his phone.
Oh, okay. And just get out. Like, if you're not going to watch it, just get out. And okay. this was opening day. We went on opening day and I thought, we'll be here. Because my most delightful cinema experiences are when we go see Star Wars on opening day.
And everyone's nice.
Because everyone there is like... Because I think Marvel kind of attracts...
I was trying to transition into the next section.
And we went, it's Easter holidays as well.
The message is, don't be one of those people that ruins it for everyone else. Just sit quietly, watch the film and talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Have a meal beforehand if you need to. Okay, going into the next section.
So, spoilers, alert, we're going to talk about everything.
Into the big spoiler discussion. You've had loads of burning thoughts, and the other day you came to me after and said, I fell asleep and I had a dream about Endgame, and now I don't know what's real and what's true.
Because I think I had a couple of little quibbles after the film that we can talk about.
Then you dreamt about them.
But then, yeah, I went to sleep on Thursday night, and I think I'd fallen asleep on the sofa, and then I went up to bed and I fell asleep, and I had a very restless night. And then I think, yeah, I dreamt about things, and then I couldn't remember when I woke up what actually happened in the film and what I dreamt, because my dreams, the film was like worse. Like there were a lot of plot holes and I woke up really confused. And then I thought that might not have happened.
Well, maybe we don't need to confuse people by talking about this.
I'm worried I'm going to say something. You're going to be like, that didn't happen. It's just something I dreamt.
Okay. How do you want to do this? Because I've got lots of different parts. This is the end game. We could talk about particular scenes or things you didn't expect, things that you liked, things you didn't like. What do you want to do? Or do you want me to go in?
Let's start with the positive. So,
yeah, okay.
My first point, this film is like, it's like a greatest hits or like a trip down memory lane. Because something I loved, even though, because essentially, like, if you're listening to this, you will have seen it, so I won't like explain everything I'm saying.
They know.
But obviously, they have to go back in time and get the stones and they figure out where to go and get them. So they go, it's like you're then going back and reviewing loads of films from the MCU. And like there's a bit, oh, they're in New York when like Avengers Assemble's happening, and then oh, they're in this bit and that's in Thor the Dark World. And you're just going down all these little trips. So even though it's like the end of this whole arc, they're going back and looking at all the previous films. So it's just like a little...
It was really smart that they did that.
Yeah, how they did that. It's like you're concluding it, but reviewing everything they've done.
Like, this is how far we've come as well.
Yeah, I thought that was really clever.
Really smart as well, because people, I think quite often, they just feel comfortable with things they know as well. And even if people maybe hated some of those scenes back in the day, I bet they liked watching them from like again, just because it makes them feel, it's, I don't know, it may be like when you see Harrison Ford in the new Star Wars, it's like, oh, something I know that's familiar. I guess the young kids haven't taken over my cinema screens. You know, people just like, especially older people generally just feel comfortable with things that they've seen before. Or,
and it's just fun as well in time travel things where you see a character go back and they have to like avoid themselves. So you see kind of a scene you've already seen from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And there's bits you saw kind of after the end of Avengers Assemble where they're like escorting Loki out the building and stuff like that. So you kind of see what happened immediately after that you never got to see.
So a massive shout out. Well, to Back to the Future as well. I mean, they say it in the film.
Yeah.
They're like, you're basing it all on Back to the Future. But it had so many bits of those elements that I love from Back to the Future 2, where they go back into the original film. And sometimes, because they couldn't shoot bits of it again, and I think it's the same here, they would kind of use footage, but they'd like skew it and pan it a different way. So you're almost looking at it from a different perspective. But they kind of like green screened it onto like bits, like at different angles and things.
Okay.
I mean, they could have reenacted quite a bit of it, but I don't know how much of it was reshot. Because Natalie Portman was in it, wasn't she?
And something I was going to say is they've got a lot of these like massive, because I guess Natalie Portman was in like a couple of Thor films.
We still haven't seen Dark World, so I have no idea.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That whole bit where she was like in Asgard, I'm like, I'm not really sure what's happening. That's like the one.
Take me back to like Ragnarok, not this one.
So I don't I don't know if that's footage or she just came in and filmed that. So she's come in to film like 2 minutes of footage where she has no lines. And there's a lot, like at the very end of the film, you've got like Tony's funeral and you've got Michelle Pfeiffer there, who I guess is an Ant-Man and the Wasp, but I haven't seen it. She's massive star, no lines. Samuel L. Jackson, massive, no lines.
Yeah.
So they're all just stood there because they're back from the dead or whatever.
I kind of think that was good, though. They weren't like, we've got to get Samuel L. Jackson to have a main part in this because he's a big actor. I think that happens in so many films, doesn't it? It's like, this person needs screen time because they are famous.
Yeah.
And this film doesn't do that. Like, it's like, I couldn't care. These are all just characters in the film. They're just comic book characters. And I'm going to tell the story how what makes a good story, not because of any other compromises.
Yeah. So a lot of them, you know, they've come back for very little dialogue or screen time. So I think it kind of, a lot of people said this film, it goes back to those core Avengers from Avengers Assemble and Ant-Man.
I don't know what that storytelling mechanic is, but it's in like Arrested Development season 4, where you have like one story and then you have different characters that play that go in that story, but each section you kind of see it from different perspectives and different angles, and then it tells you something about a story that you didn't know because you've seen it from another character.
Yeah,
it's like one of my favorite things, but I don't know if there's a name for it.
Did they do that on this? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you're seeing, like you were saying, that you see events that happen, but obviously would have been the end of the film, and then you're seeing the scene after that.
Yeah.
You know, like when they're escorting him out. One thing I wanted to check was Tony Stark, when he's getting escorted away, and then Ant-Man pulls the plug on one of his things. Does that happen in the original?
You don't see that scene. I don't think.
Do you not?
No.
I thought there was a bit at the end of one of the Avengers films where Tony Stark, his heart starts
breaking. Oh, I'd have to go back and watch. Down. I don't know.
And you might all be screaming at home that's new and that didn't happen. But at that moment, I was thinking, oh God, everything, they can't change anything. They're actually just the events that happened back then are happening because they came back and started doing this stuff. You know, like one of those classic time travel where they try and go back and realize that it was like, I can't say stuff without spoiling other shows, but where they try and go back to change something, but actually changing it was the thing that made it happen in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you just mouthed at me?
Oh, I was trying to say the name of the show that we watched late.
Mouth it again. Oh, yeah.
Don't want to spoil that.
So saying, there is less screen time for a lot of characters, because I think something that Infinity War was praised for is they kind of all got, everyone kind of had their moment.
Yeah.
Like all the stars, everyone had like a shining moment. It was kind of quite balanced, but this film just comes back to those core ones from Avengers Assemble. And obviously a lot of the other guys only show up in the last battle.
Yeah.
So.
Not just getting equal amount, but also having a reason to show each of those characters in Infinity War.
Yeah. That's really cool. So it wasn't just like, shoving it in for the sake of it, like it all made sense. But this one, it was definitely about those, that core unit plus Ant-Man.
And one of my praises would be, I really didn't expect within the first, 10, 15 minutes for them to just go kill Thanos.
Lob Thanos' head off.
Chop off his head. That was such a, Luke chucking the lightsaber moment. Like, you have this gap between film to film and you build up in your head what you want the film to be. And then suddenly they just laugh in your face and go, throw that moment in.
So that's what I was saying on reflection. Actually, the first bit was very action packed because they go get Tony and Nebula. Captain Marvel go gets them. They come back and she's like, right, off we go then.
And then it turns out they just arrive
and they're like, hiya. And they just like wrestle him and Thor just chops his head off. And you're like, oh, okay. And then I think after that, it was then quiet because then they have to come to terms with the fact they can't do anything about it.
I know, that's what
Because
cool
that was
as
their
well.
Last bit of hope. And then that's over and you're like, oh, what are they going to do now? Because that was their last chance and now he's dead and he didn't have the answer.
I think most people would just be expecting, right, we've got to hunt down Thanos and we've got to click the glove and get everything. And the whole movie was going to be getting people together or something or rallying them up, finding Thanos and having a big battle.
But actually, they do all that very quickly.
Yeah. They kind of just avert your expectations really well.
Yeah. But I know it was a common theory because Ant-Man isn't in Infinity War. People thought it would have something to do with Ant-Man and the quantum realm.
I was really, really surprised by that because as much as I wanted that to be the case, I just didn't think that they were brave enough to say Ant-Man's, going to be the core to all of this because I don't think he's that popular. Like, especially as a comic book character before he was in the MCU.
I had never heard of him.
You'd never heard of him.
I hadn't really heard of Iron Man. Well, he wasn't one of the big
look
ones.
At you now.
He wasn't. The big Marvel ones are like Spider-Man.
And?
Thor.
You knew who Thor was?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Who's the other big Marvel one?
Oh, your interpretation
is
very good.
I think I'd heard of Captain America.
The X-Men.
X-Men, yeah.
But you knew them because they were in films. You wouldn't have known them
all. I loved Hugh Jackman. It was one of my first great loves. I used to watch X-Men 2 over and over.
I think he loved you back.
I think he'd like me if he met me.
Maybe he would.
But I'd just be like, I loved it when you were in Oklahoma. You were so good. And he'd be like, thanks. And so then we'd be best friends.
I didn't expect them to kill Thanos that quick. And I also was not expecting 5 years later because I love the way that it put the word, the number 5, then years, then like it was so slow. Every other time hop that you ever see, it just goes 5 years later. Because I think it was quite a big shock to kind of, everyone's like, oh no, everyone disappeared. What are the Avengers going to do next? And actually what they do next is wait 5 years. Not intentionally, but like it just skips ahead and you kind of have to come to terms with, okay, everyone's dead. A third of the population, is it a third or half?
It was half.
Half? I don't know why I thought a third. They're all gone. And like,
Thanos thinks, I want to kill 33.3333% of the world.
Half of them are gone and the world has to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I've thought that bit really reminded me of The Leftovers. That's where I'm getting a third from. The Leftovers is all about a third of the population just vanish and disappear. And it's about how Earth kind of has to deal with that and the changes that it made. And like, you don't think it would make that much of a difference, but especially in this film when it's half, like the implications are huge, aren't they?
Yeah. I think just a really small detail, because I had wondered if there was a time hop, because at the beginning of the film, Scarlett Johansson still has her blonde bob, but on the posters she had like sort of long red hair. Because I'd always wondered in the films, obviously she's supposed to have red hair, and in the first few films she's in, it's always red. I remember I saw first Iron Man, she's got this massive red curly wig, and I think it looks horrible. She has that. But then as the film goes on, she's just got like what her hair is in real life, and I thought maybe Scarlett Johansson is just like, I don't want to keep having red hair, I just want to have my hair, and I thought it was a bit of a cop-out. But I liked the detail of Nat, when it was 5 years later and her hair had grown, the roots, like the top bit was red and the bottom bit was blonde, as if the character had coloured her hair blonde and the natural is bright red. So the bit at the bottom was blonde and the top was red, because you can tell over that 5 years she's kind of given...
Let herself go.
Yeah. So she's just let her hair grow. She stopped colouring it blonde. I thought that was a nice little detail.
I thought it looked quite nice.
No, by the end I thought it looks... It's a bit weird having the red to the blonde, but kind of cool. I mean, she's Scarlett Johansson, like she can do what she likes and she looks amazing. But I thought that was a nice little detail, because I thought, oh, she's just blonde now because Scarlett Johansson didn't want to have red hair. But then they had her growing her hair.
I've heard
out.
That on they have a bit of freedom in how the actors look in the Marvel Universe. They basically, I think, they tell them what they have to look like, but they don't tell them how they have to look. So they have to say to Chris Evans, like, you need to have a beard, but they don't tell him how long it has to be, for example.
I really enjoyed his beard in Infinity War. And I know there was a lot of chat about, because it looked like in Endgame it was going to be gone. And I love, like, one of the first shots you see of him in the film, he's putting the razor down, like he's literally just done it. The beard.
Oh, was it gone?
Yeah. He had no beard in this film.
I don't pay attention to...
He had no beard.
Did he not?
But it's like the first thing you see. You see him in a bathroom and he puts the razor down and just pats his face with a towel. It's this big thing about he comes back in Infinity War and you're like, oof, that beard. And then it's gone.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I really liked the kind of showing the emptiness of the world, because you could have just gone, okay, everyone's disappeared and now the Avengers are going to go sort it out.
Yep.
But it was almost like, okay, they lost and look what happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I liked that, there's that scene where Captain Steve Rogers, he's got that kind of little, kind of like support group.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about it. And the guy's like, oh, I went on a date for a first time. And that's the thing that kind of, you see all these superheroes fighting it and they've got all these just extraordinary abilities, but then the impact on real people. Mm. And he's saying, you know, we went on a date. And, like, he cried when the salad came and I cried at dessert, because people come into terms with the fact that half of life is gone.
Mm.
And, yeah, just seeing it, not the effect on superheroes, but on normal people. So, yeah, I think that was really good how it showed that. So that was an important scene.
So it shows that he also doesn't have, like, a lot of fighting to do either. I mean, he's not out there being a superhero.
Well, yes, half the enemies are also dead, aren't they?
Yeah. Half of life.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think let's move on to the time travel problems.
You'll know more about this than me, but it just seemed a bit slapdash, some of it. And just the whole thing where Tony's like, I ain't doing that. And then he literally solves it in about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he just sort of goes, hur, 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 and he's like, I did it. I fixed it. And I'm like, oh, cool. You just solved time travel.
I think they had quite a good way of, like, the acting did it quite well to kind of make it believable. And it was very just comic booky in that, like, we've got to time travel. We don't really have a reason, like, as to how they get suddenly going to do it. But he was just looking at a circle and... Within, yeah, like you say, about 3 seconds, he just invented time travel.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Had he never done that before?
You'd think it's the kind of thing he would have had to think about, because he's a very smart man. He would have just thought, I'm going to just have a play around with this.
They just suggested
it, and he just laughed at them. And then he's just having a little dabble with his little table computer.
Is it because of Ant-Man's like suggestion into...
Maybe he hadn't thought of like the quantum physics-y things.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that bit as well I was going to point out. But also, maybe if we just talk about the ending, that links into the time travel. So it's okay. People have seen the end.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at you blankly, trying to figure out what you mean, but I'll just wait and see what you say.
Right, okay. Well, the very end of the film, they have to put all of the stones back.
Yep.
Right, because the plan is they snatch up all these stones and bring them into the present day and then put them back at exactly the same time so that time will carry on as usual and it's all fine.
But also, because it's, I guess they only had so many... So they only had so many stick things. Obviously, like, going and getting the stones, they all had to have a go at that. But putting them back, they just sent Captain off on his own.
Yeah, how does he do that all at the same time? I mean, maybe if he could...
He must have jumped between places. He must have had loads of sticks.
Stick?
Like, whatever, the little red thing you need.
Because
I guess at that point, Michael Douglas is alive again.
Yeah.
So he can just make more.
True.
But he would have had to... But why was it like a whole team job? But then to put them back, they're like, oh, we'll just send Steve.
It's like one person.
Just send Steve to do it.
Yeah.
I guess in the beginning bit, they all had to go separately because they couldn't all go and get each one at a time because they didn't have enough red sticks. The little, I don't know what it's called, the little red cell thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know. No, I'm not sure. Yeah. So that's one issue is that how is he suddenly able to do it on his own?
Mm.
Okay, my second issue is that... The film sets up these like specific rules about time travel. It's like if anything diverges from the past, it creates like a separate reality, a separate timeline.
And they like all interfere, don't they?
Well, my point is Captain America goes back and lives his entire life to an old man.
It doesn't. I like that ending for him. I think it's really nice. I loved the closing shot of the film of them just dancing with like the old music. I thought it was lovely, but it makes bugger all sense. Surely you can't do that.
Well, he's just wrecked
everything.
If he doesn't, if she obviously meets him when he wakes up and she's an old lady and stuff.
But it's not altering present he's travelled from, but it just creates an alternate timeline.
But it doesn't, because he's right in front of them.
Yeah, how does he get back? Is that literally him in present day and he's just walked over to the house?
Yeah, that's what I assume, because he can't travel between realities, he can only travel through time.
So he was just sat waiting for them on the bench, waiting for them to be like, where's Steve? And then he's like, hi guys.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like in Back to the Future where they send the letter. And the letter's supposed to arrive at that particular time.
Okay.
You know, when Doc gets stuck in the past, in the Old West.
Yeah.
And then it arrives. So he's... Yeah, well, why do you think he was there?
Because they said, like, oh, he's gone straight past. They were like, I can see his timestamp, but he's gone straight past. As if he had arrived, but he was all... Yeah, but I guess maybe he just walked to the funeral.
No, so he's
just travelled there.
He's gone back, done the jobs, and then somehow, and then he spent the rest of his time with Peggy.
Mm.
To the point where he's not mad. He knows what time they would have seen him disappear.
So Peggy's dead at that point, isn't she? Because we see her die in another film.
Yeah, she would have died before that. Yeah, and then he's had a few more years, and he's turned up at this place. Yeah? Right where he left off.
He hasn't time travelled together. He's just there. Because he's old. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, why?
But yeah,
if
then,
he could
yeah,
time
then you're
travel,
right.
He wouldn't be old.
Yeah, then you're right. It's not an alternate timeline, it's the same timeline. So yeah, that can't be right, can it?
No. So he would have completely like
ballsed
up time. So he would have just gone into some completely separate reality or timeline. But then he's old and he appears in their timeline present.
Surely he should just never, if he'd done that and it created an alternate timeline, he would just never have appeared again.
Exactly. He would be in his own timeline where Thanos probably would have destroyed everyone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Thanos would have done it in that timeline.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, I like it. I like that ending for him. It's lovely. But yeah, it had all this thing about making up the rules and it was saying, oh yeah, Back to the Future is basically rubbish. Well, then it just broke them all anyway.
It didn't say Back to the Future is rubbish.
It said it didn't work. Not like the film is rubbish, but like their rules didn't work. Doesn't someone say that?
No.
Yeah, doesn't Ant-Man say, so Back to the Future is all rubbish then? And someone's like, yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe that was in my dream.
That might have been your dream, yeah. No, they talk about different rules for time travel.
I think he says that. I don't think I've made that up.
Mark Ruffalo just goes, for some reason, he goes, this is how time works.
Mm.
in, which is fine. Like, he's just setting up in this. I don't know how he knows that. He's got a very specific view on time travel rules, and he states in the film, this is how it's going to work. I mean, maybe that all comes down to Mark Ruffalo didn't know how they actually worked, and that's why we see Cap. So there's some time stuff that just doesn't work.
It does seem a bit... It started off all right, and then they just went a bit wild.
Yeah, and it's almost like set the rules, but then because it didn't work with their ending, well, they just do what they want anyway.
Yeah. So say, do you have more on time travel?
No, I think we know that it doesn't make any... I was just going to... Fun fact. In the comics, it was a serum. The serum gets taken out of his blood, which makes him then age up to the proper age he's supposed to be as an old man. And that's why he hands over to Sam the Falcon dude.
Yeah, I found that bit cheesy.
What?
Like him passing the torch, and he like picks up the shield, and he's like, how does it feel? And he's like, it feels like it belongs to someone else. And I'm like, and they're all like, go on. He's like, I'll do my best. And like, this guy, I know he's dead cool, and he's got Falcon, and like, his Falcon, he's cool because he can like fly around, but he's not got like super strength like Captain America, has he? And I'm like, are you gonna be any good at this? Like, you're good at Falcon. Like, be Falcon. Like, we've got a good Falcon. Why do we need another Captain America?
Can you not have just asked Tony Stark to make you another shield? Then you'd basically be flying Captain America anyway.
Yeah, okay, maybe he's just going to be Falcon. Like, what's happening with Falcon and Bucky? What are they going to do?
Have their own adventures. No, well, so in the comics, he becomes Captain America.
Okay, yeah.
So, that's why they've done it. But I guess, I don't know, we're just looking at that guy being like... I don't want you to be Captain America.
I like him as Falcon. He's good at that.
Yeah, stick to what you know.
There's a bit where, like, one of the monsters, he, like, sticks his wings in it and, like, opens it, and the monster goes, like, pfft. And I was like, that was really cool. Captain America don't have wings. Falcon has wings.
I mean, let's see what happens before we start judging.
Yeah. Just that whole, the passing over. Because I think we knew going into this that this was kind of the end of Chris Evans, Captain America. Like, we knew he wasn't. This was, like, his last film as Captain America. So, I think, from speculating, I think a lot of people expected him to die. And I guess he's sort of... He's not dead, but he's old.
He's over. Yeah, he's done. he's lived done. His life.
Because I expected him to die, but then the other two big deaths in the film, I maybe didn't expect. Which is all I can say, Connor. Which is, like, Natasha... Like Black Widow and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like, coming on, if we talk about... I'll talk about Black Widow's death first. This is one of my issues. Because Natasha and Hawkeye are sent to, what is it, Vormir?
Place where Red Skull is.
Yeah, to get the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
Which obviously we saw in Infinity War. Thanos goes with Gamora, chucks her over, gets the stone, because you have to sacrifice something you love. Did no one want to clue them in on that before they got there?
Or did they know that?
Thanos goes to the planet and they have that fight where they nearly get the glove off him, the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And Nebula's like realizes what he did because she realizes he's got the stone. Tony's also present. So the whole bit where like she dies, Natasha dies, I didn't feel sad because I was more just like...
angry.
Why did no one tell her they'd have to do this?
Bring like a little, I don't know, living squirrel or something to chuck over the edge. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I was more just like, but why did no one tell them about this? I was like, why did no one let them know? Yeah. But I don't know. But then thinking about it more, is it because Nebula thought they'd get there and not have the balls to do it? They'd like chicken out and then they wouldn't get the stone.
I don't know if that's why.
And she thought if they go there and they just have to do it. But Tony, I'm sure, was there because that's when Quill gets really annoyed because they realise he killed Gamora.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, people say about Quill ruins everything because they nearly had the glove off him and Quill, like, gets angry. So that kind of just bothered me because I'm like, did no one say... Because all the other ones, they just have to snatch a briefcase or something. That one, someone's got to die.
Yeah.
And that really irritated me. So I'm like, but why is she dead? I'm like, what? And also, technically, I think I was reading a review or an article or something. You could argue, well, does it count for Hawkeye to get the stone? Because she sacrificed herself. Mm. He didn't sacrifice her.
Mm.
She did it. Is it you have to sacrifice something? So if we were up there, I would have to chuck you over. Or could you just chuck yourself over? Could you willingly sacrifice yourself for me to get the stone? Do I have to push you?
Mm. He kind of like had to let go of a hand though, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he had to let it go.
Thanos and Gamora, she really didn't want to go.
Mm.
And he chucked her. But because, does that still count as he didn't sacrifice her? He sort of did because he had to let go. Because they're arguing over who should jump. And they both try. But yeah, so that surprised me that she died. And it bothered me because I thought, why is no one... Because then they might have thought a way around it.
Do you think as well that... Because I know those two are close. Like, I feel like he sort of fancies her, but he's married.
No, I think they've just known each other a very long time. I think they're like family.
But does that count? Like, if Tony and Thor had turned up?
That's the thing. They had to send those two, because I think everyone else doesn't quite have that relationship.
Yeah, but did they know that? Did they know?
I don't know. This is why it kind of bothered me.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't quite make sense. So I know I should be really sad that Natasha's gone, because she's this huge character, but I was just more like,
But how strong does that bond have to be? Can you have a turtle that you love and you chuck over?
I guess, if it's your pet and you love it, I guess that counts.
Yeah.
But like you say, like Ant-Man, if Ant-Man and Thor were gone, we've never met, they'd be like, oh,
it wouldn't work. Happily go, I'll chuck this guy over, but then it wouldn't work because it wouldn't be something that you sacrifice.
So the only people that really could go and do it are those two because they've got that really close bond. Maybe Natasha and Hulk, because there's like a romance vibe. But they were one, you know, they've got not a history, but they're like family. They've known each other a very long time.
Why are those the rules of the Soul Stone? Why is Red Skull making up? He's a bad guy.
I know.
He's not even want to be there. He's put there by...
He gets like banished there, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that whole bit, I kind of didn't feel sad. I was just a bit bothered.
I know, you said that.
Yeah.
Many times.
But I was sad and not expecting Tony to die.
I guess because it's Endgame and it's just about everyone. Like, I feel like he's not going to be Tony Stark again.
But I kind of just wanted him to go off and just live with Pepper and their adorable little girl. I didn't want him to die.
Yeah.
So that bothered me.
I thought there had to be some sort of weight to the end. Like, there had to be some cost to it all.
I thought Captain America was going to die.
I think maybe in the comics he does die.
Mm. But then, I mean, he is sort of, like, he's going to die sooner rather than later because he's really old. But, yeah, so I kind of just wanted him to go off and, yeah, just live out in his little... Like that, what you call it? Like house, like cabin. They've got a fancy cabin.
Yeah, good. I don't understand why they were in a cabin as well. Because I thought maybe it was like to be away from technology because Pepper doesn't really like it. And then they're just like by the fire and he's got this massive like time travel hologram that he's figuring out.
Yeah, he's still got to have some of it, hasn't he? It's sort of rustic, but it's got that sci-fi thrown in. And there's a lot of emotional bits in the film, kind of tearjerker moments, very epic. I think the bit that got me was just when Happy, like John Favreau's character, is sat on the porch with, I can't remember what the daughter's called, like Morgan or something.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, you're hungry? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, what do you want? She says, cheeseburgers. And he's like, I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want. And that's the bit that got me.
Mm.
I was like, oh, God.
I also really wanted a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I was getting quite peckish then because we'd eaten before the film.
Yeah, we had our meal well beforehand. Now, one big bit I want to bring up from Infinity War was about Hulk.
Mm.
I thought that he was going to be key to it all because they set up, I don't know, there was no reason, at least that I understood, why Hulk didn't want to come out and be the Hulk throughout Infinity War, right? Mm. It was like... Hulk was just like, no, saying no. It felt like he knew something that we didn't, that Bruce Banner didn't know.
Mm.
And I thought he had to wait for his moment to do something. And then when it skipped forward 5 years and Hulk was like this weird, like cool guy, celebrity, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, that whole bit with the taking the pictures in the thing, and he was like dabbing and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, that's not him.
I thought it was funny, especially because it was like Ant-Man and Paul Rudd, and he...
Yeah.
Humorous. But they were just about Hulk's character, especially in my mind, I'd made up that there was some secret there. Mm. Was some, like, okay, well, why didn't he want to be Hulk in Infinity War? Because he wasn't like...
He was trying. Hulk didn't want to come out.
Yeah, Hulk didn't want to come out. Why didn't he want to come out? He's out all the time now. What, he just got over it? And I was just cool being half Hulk, half Banner.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I was a bit disappointed by that. I thought maybe there's something that Hulk could do that needed to wait till the time comes. Maybe if we'd seen him in not being the Hulk, and then when he had to take up the glove to handle the radiation, that I would have felt better about that. Because, like, why else make him this half-Hulk?
Yeah. Just
apart from the fact that it was a bit funny when he's smashing those cars when he had to pretend to be angry Hulk. Because he was now really calm.
Because if he'd been angry Hulk, they wouldn't have been able to get the gauntlet on him to click. He wouldn't have been able to know how to do that.
I mean, I guess maybe Infinity War Hulk was trying to say, I don't want to come out until you've kind of like learned to control me type thing.
Mm.
But I don't know. And we'll never know because he jumps 5 years.
Yeah.
That was a shame.
Okay.
But again, it might be one of those things that... Well, when people criticise the film because it didn't turn out how they wanted the film to be, maybe I'm doing that a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just, I know, you got these two massive films and I guess not everything's going to carry over. Well, I was going to ask, we were talking about people dying and like where the Avengers are at now.
Mm.
We've got Thor kind of being with Guardians.
Yeah.
Guardians,
so is he going to be in...
Asgard, what would you call them?
As Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So is Thor going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
So say there's one bit there that comes to mind. Say about it is funny, but I thought a couple of the jokes went on a
little bit longer. Like
the one with the phone in the cafe. I think that went on a bit too long.
Phone in the cafe?
Like, taking the picture, in the cafe.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where Ant-Man's like, don't you want mine? And they're like, no. I think that went on a bit long. And also when Thor gets on the ship with Quill and the Guardians, and they're joking about who's really in charge, and he's like, oh, well, we know who's really in charge. And Quill's like, yeah, me. That went on a bit long.
Mm. You see, it almost felt like playing the audience as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say a joke now. Which worked for the guy next to me who laughed at every... You know, just the actors in Marvel, they do this thing where you know what they're saying is supposed to be a funny line.
Mm.
And the guy next to me just went, oh, to every single one, even when it wasn't supposed to be a joke. It was horrible.
Oh dear! You are very picky.
I'm very sensitive to cinemas.
Very sensitive to people.
But he might have been the worst person in the cinema.
Well, worse than like the family who kept changing seats and like talking across the aisle to each other,
and
then were like moving around.
Sort your life out, people. I paid money. I know it's only £5 each, but like, it's not the money I'm bothered about. It's the 10 years of waiting to see this film, and you just turn up with pizza. Snotty little kids.
Yeah, I just thought some of the jokes.
My voice is going a little bit, so you carry on.
Yeah, I thought some of the jokes went on a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Yep.
What other bits are in my notes? Just some very small things. I know on the Captain Marvel episode we talked a lot about Samuel L. Jackson and how they'd like made him young. They did the same thing with Michael Douglas. When they go and get
a
couple of the stones and you see him for a second, I thought that
looked
brilliant. He looked great.
I assume they did the same thing with Steve Rogers as well.
To make him old.
Old, yeah.
That looked more makeup-y to me.
I thought it looked really good.
It did look. It worked.
It looked like one of those, you know, what are you going to look like? And you take a picture of yourself and it ages you.
Yeah.
So I assumed it was like digital.
Maybe it's effect. A bit of both. I don't know. Bit of makeup, bit digital. But yeah, that worked too. But I thought Michael Douglas, it looks pretty flawless, to be honest.
That was a good wrap-up to Tony's story as well, I thought.
Well, like meeting his dad.
Meeting his dad,
yeah,
and talking about
nice.
It. It was nice, because he's always obviously been angry at his dad.
Yeah.
And that was his...
Kind of closure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
Like, if you could meet your dad and he didn't know it was you, what would he say about you type thing?
Mm.
Oh, I mean, it could be really horrible once Tony was born, for all I know. But at least his intentions were there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he got that closure before he died. And also he got to see his sort of adopted son, Peter Parker, as well, come back.
Because, yeah, now I'm wondering, because people have said, oh, well, with, you know, like Spider-Man Far From Home, is it going to be, because obviously he's at high school, but half the kids, approximately, won't have died. So all the ones that are now come back, are they all, they're all going to be 5 years older?
I just get a feeling it's set beforehand.
I don't know. And yet, is he going to be bummed about Tony being dead?
I don't think so. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But there's been speculation about, because obviously, like when Ant-Man, I can't remember his, like, not a superhero name, and he goes and he finds his daughter, and obviously she's a lot older because 5 years have passed. So you've got people that like haven't aged, but then their friends will be like 5 years older, their kids will be 5 years older and stuff like that. So there are implications to the fact that they've been brought back then and not just at the time.
No, I don't,
so I don't
think,
know if
don't
we'll
think
see
you
that.
Need to worry about it.
I'm just curious. Maybe we will see that unravel in Spider-Man. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
I think it's just a little road trip adventure with Peter Parker. He goes to England and...
Italy, just... I think Venice.
Italy?
I think they go to Venice from,
as well.
From the trailer, yeah. They're on like the little water taxis.
I'm sure it'll be good.
Well, you're getting trips to Europe at school. It's cool, right? Actually, I think there were the odd trips to America at my school you could go on. Anyway, what was my other point I wanted to say? Something I liked, I think we were saying, you said about how Thanos got beheaded in like the first 10 minutes and kind of it maybe not going exactly where I thought it would. So obviously from then, once they figured out they could do the whole time travel thing, they could have then got the gauntlet, defeated Thanos in like a battle and then done the click. So you kind of knew Thanos was gone and then they do the click. But I liked the fact that they did it and then he came and then there was an opportunity for it to all go to crap again.
Mm.
Like I was really like, when they were like scrabbling over it and eventually Tony gets it, I was like so on edge. Like my heart was going. I'm like, you did it all. You went to all that trouble, all that bother and he's just going to mess it up again. So I like the fact it wasn't sort of, we defeated the enemy and now we'll put things right. They put things right and then they had to deal with him and it could have all gone tits up again.
My question is, why did we need Captain Marvel as well?
That's something that disappointed me.
Yeah.
How little she was in it.
Because I think even in the trailers, wasn't it? You know, the bit where Thor gets his hammer and he's like, I like this one.
Yeah, so I thought she'd be in it.
It was
going to
be the answer. Because they were like, why isn't it going to work this time? And they'd be like, why is it going to work? And
she's like, you got me. But then
fly up there, but I don't think they needed her at that point because, yeah, he just sliced her head off. She sliced his head off.
Yeah, and then she just comes in. Because I know when they're having that kind of like virtual meeting
Star
room.
Star Warsy meeting, yeah.
Like get everyone on the VC and they're
like,
all
you
there.
You won't see me for a while.
Yeah, because I think certain like disturbances, there's kind of like some aftermath, I think, to the thing like weird things are happening, like earthquakes and things. I think there's kind of an increase.
I imagine.
So obviously she's got a bigger remit because she's kind of in space and like everyone else is on Earth.
The whole universe.
Yeah, so she's kept busy doing that. Like I guess she's not just not helping. And then once Thanos is on Earth, she does pop back.
Yeah, she might have been travelling as soon as he got there.
Yeah.
And she does... There is a moment in the fight where she massively overpowers him and gets him to that point where someone can come and grab him. But also, he does just, like, smack her out of the way after about 3 minutes.
Yeah. And then where is she when Tony's then fighting him?
Yeah.
And that's that pivotal bit. I'm like, did he hit you that hard that you're not just getting back up? Because then Tony has to deal with him.
Yeah, I would have liked her to have done one particular thing to make it or break it type thing.
Well, she did take down the massive like warship in the sky.
I guess.
I think she was quite helpful. But I think if she'd done the click, I think she would have survived.
Also, is Vision dead? Assume he's not.
Oh yeah,
back.
Vision. He's dead. Well, he wasn't dusted.
I know. He was a stone, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I just feel bad for Scarlet Witch, because she's just back doing a thing, but she's like, well, he's dead.
And like Loki's still dead.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I like Loki. It was fun.
I think he'll be back somehow.
I think, somewhere. Isn't he going to get his own TV series, I think? I don't know if it'll be Tom Hiddleston, but I think Loki is getting a TV series for the Disney streaming thing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if Carol had done the click, I think she would have survived.
I wanted to bring up one thing. I looked into it as well. We were talking about Pepper Pot having, like, her own Iron Man suit.
Yeah, because, like, this shiny silver thing started flying around, and there was a woman in it.
You're like, that's cool.
And
who's that?
I was like, who's that? And for a while, I didn't realise it was Gwyneth Paltrow in there, and then I was like, oh, what's she doing? So, yeah, go on. I was like, who the hell's that?
So, well, first of all, my other point would be, if we can just put everyone in these Iron Man suits, just make it for everyone. Just put Hulk in a big machine.
He was in Infinity War.
I know, but and then also put like Captain America in a machine. Put every civilian in a machine. Just, like, bring them into the fight. I guess maybe it would take a while, but he does have Stark Industries, which is probably like the biggest company in the world.
Well, it might not be at that point.
Well,
it's probably in decline. I don't think everyone's buying all this advanced technology because half of people are dead.
I think he
can
make suits to make other suits. He could have his own robot army. Like remember Iron Man 3 had about 50 of them.
Yeah.
All different. Anyway, so in the comics, she's almost like a superhero. Her name is Rescue.
Oh.
And she doesn't have any, she has a suit that he makes for her to just as like an emergency protection thing. Obviously, he's lost a lot of people along the way. He doesn't want to lose her.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have any offensive abilities. It just has the purpose of being able to save her, get her out of danger, all that kind of stuff. And I think the article I was reading was about, like, well, they've seen, I know, like, he lost Peter in that, obviously, a different kind of way, but he's just trying to protect everyone that he cares about however he can.
Yeah.
It just was a bit odd that, could have, I don't know, hinted at that beforehand, because it's almost like we were supposed to know who it was.
Because I think that's the suit, you know, him and his kid are messing about earlier in the film, and she's like messing about with the helmet, and he's like, oh, I'm making that for your mum. So I guess that's it. But also, yeah, I wouldn't have expected her to turn up and join in the battle with Thanos.
I'm making it for your mum, and by
like, where's the kid? Who's looking after the kid? I guess Happy's looking after the kid.
The kid must have his own suit as well.
I just think maybe don't put mum and dad in the fight.
Yeah.
Let's not try and have two dead parents. Let's just minimum one dead parent. Because she could have died. She
could have died easily, couldn't she?
How much combat has she done?
How does she know how to fly the suit?
Yeah. Well, I think she's done it a little bit in other films. He's had to, like, protect her. But yeah, I'm like, let's keep one parent out looking after the kid. Maybe. Something that was sad as well, because obviously everyone in the film has lost someone, but kind of Tony does have an opportunity. Like, he's really sad about Peter dying, but he does still have his, were they married? He has Pepper. And then they have a kid, and he kind of does have this chance of this new life. He has got a family.
Yeah.
And he puts it all on the line, and then he ends up dead.
Yeah.
And everyone else is back. So that was an extra kind of just sad note.
I think, yeah, he kind of makes a point of being that he was quite lucky in that he didn't lose the people, not everyone. Yeah. So I guess it's now his luck's kind of run out.
Yeah. I'm really sad he died.
So I want to kind of wrap up. Have you got any other?
I think that was, I've gone through all my
notes.
The
one last thing I want to say, that there were no post-credit scene. I was reading an article today about how that was the right choice for this film, because usually you're just trying to get people hyped for like the next film, but you kind of position this one to be the end of an era or coming to a close. You don't really want to be sticking like up next on MCU.
Yeah, but then they've said Spider-Man Far From Home is the end of phase 3.
Yeah, I don't know what they're scheduling. Like, maybe it was, in an ideal world, Spider-Man would be out beforehand.
Well, you just take, it's not a clip, but there's like a there's like an audio clip you hear, and it's like someone clanging metal.
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to be some clue, but I don't know what to.
We don't know what it is. Take a boffin to figure out.
I'm sure we could look online and see what's speculating. Sounds like someone making a sword, doing some in like a blacksmith.
Mm.
You know, when you make the sword really hot, and then you
that guy
it.
From Game of Thrones who was dead massive but he's small.
Which one's that?
The Moon Wizard.
The Moon Wizard.
The what's his name? Who makes a sword for Thor? He's from Game of Thrones.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
his name? Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage. Yeah. That's the one. Maybe
okay,
it's him.
Sorry.
He's getting his own series, I reckon.
Mm.
His own film.
It wasn't my favourite Peter Dinklage performance.
Just him in a blacksmith trying to sell his weapons. All right, well, that ends our spoiler discussion on Avengers Endgame.
I do. Let's go again. I want to watch it again.
We will go again. And if you would like to see it again at home, then let's try and get those box office numbers double. Everyone go see it again.
Yeah, all these people don't already have enough money. Disney does not have enough money. Disney is not taking over the world
let's
already.
Move into the outro. Show is finally over. The Endgame film comes to a close, as well as the Good Vibes Film Club season 1. So if you did enjoy the show, we are planning to perhaps roll out another show. We've got quite a good idea for it. I haven't discussed it with Sarah in that much detail. Maybe I'll have to rope her into it and make her commit to it. We're back with this show for season 2. I think we probably would mix it up a little bit, maybe put one film rather than two, because obviously for anyone listening, two films is maybe a bit much to ask for them to watch two films a week. Some people don't even watch one.
Yep.
Yeah, you agree with that?
Yep, I'd agree.
And we could make maybe get more deep dive into each film rather than trying to cut it short, because we know we've got to cram in another film.
Mm.
So if you did enjoy, then you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/goodvibesfilmclub. You can follow me on Twitter at Cosmic Onion. Thank you for all those people who are following me. It's nice to see those numbers go up.
How many you got now?
Got 11.
Ooh!
Yep.
Double digits.
There's almost one per episode. If we can get another follow, you get me to 12.
Maybe I'll follow you.
If no one does, Sarah,
I'll
make an account. Just
let me know like by tomorrow if you haven't got another one. I'll do it.
If you're just hearing this one episode, then maybe if you'd like to, you can hit the subscribe button and download it to your podcast player of choice. That's the best way to get the shows on the minute that they come out. And it would really, really help us if you left a review on iTunes. Makes a massive impact. And just generally tell your friends and spread the word.
Yeah.
So we will be back. Don't fear. If you this is the first episode you hear, you can go back and listen to the entire show.
The back catalogue.
And if you would like to write in between now and I guess when we come back, you can do so at email me at fanmail@goodvibesfilmclub.com. You also go to the website goodvibesfilmclub.com. And yeah, you send us your film suggestions as well. Then if we do a second season, then you can maybe expect to see your film being reviewed and discussed by us.
Because currently we've done ones generally at least one of us has already seen, but it might be cool to do some that neither of us have seen and get some of initial reaction. I know we've said earlier in the series there's quite a lot of maybe classic films we've not seen.
Yeah, we'll have to watch Scarface or something.
Yeah, I've never seen Scarface.
Never seen Scarface.
Should probably watch Scarface.
Did you enjoy the show? Did you enjoy doing the podcasting?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I remember you quite, not nervous, but uneasy around the microphone when we first started.
Yeah, I've not smacked my pop shield with my boobs today, so I normally do that.
With your what?
I'm sure I kept hitting it with my chest. It seems higher today.
Way too high.
It was lower the other week. Or I'm like, I'd have to go come up quite
You've just
high.
Grown.
I've grown.
Or
okay.
shrunk. No, you've shrunk.
Yeah, shrunk.
We'll figure it out.
I think it was lower. I think it was maybe like down here before, and then that's nearer the chest.
Got better.
Now I'm fiddling with it now.
They'll probably make really horrible noises for people at home.
Sorry.
So if you, yeah, just generally, if you would like to hear more, obviously, if you don't write in and you think that you're not because someone else is, chances are they're probably not.
No, so if you have got any, yeah, feedback or thoughts, like, let us know, because, you know, this is sort of like a fun thing for us to do, but we're still kind of willing, you know, obviously to experiment with the format and everything. If people have
give us feedback, yeah.
We'd be eager to see it.
But you, overall, you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't mind talking to me?
You're fine,
yeah. For an hour and a half, you're once fine. A week.
Yeah.
Seems like not much to ask for. Okay, so until next time.
Yeah.
Goodbye for now. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.